Welcome to B-Movies and E-Books. I'm Craig Wade.
And I'm Brian Allen Delaney.
We got a pretty special episode. I think I've said that at the top of every episode, but
episode is special, Craig.
In its own way. No, yeah. We've been, following Tusk a lot, and I think there's been Tusk updates in almost every episode so far.
I think so.
And we finally saw it. So we're going to be reviewing Tusk later on. And we're also going to be doing a review of a Jeff Strand short story called Burden. And other than that, I don't know. What have you been up to this week?
Not much, really. Writing, working, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I've really slacked off at writing. Really slacked off. I mean, I've done some. I will tell you, I've done, it was like 212 words this week.
No,
like it's, I don't know. It's not much. It's two and a half paragraphs, something.
That's like not even 50 words a day.
No, and none of it contributed to plot. It was just like details.
Nice.
Like, oh, okay, cool.
But I've had this weird thing because I've been sick lately, and one of my ears is still stopped up. I should probably go to the doctor. And everything sounds like ring modulated. It's really, really weird. And so it's like, notes don't work.
That seems wrong.
Yeah, I should probably go to the doctor.
Yeah, I wonder if you have something in your ear. I don't know. I mean,
I don't know.
Neither of us are ear scientists. No, but like, I don't know. That seems like maybe something's touching it.
I don't know. Maybe.
Ring modulated. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's weird.
Yeah, that's really weird. Not sound good. I'm getting a weird humming noise in my room. What is that? Oh, Kelsey's vacuuming.
Oh, awesome.
So, great. Great. Anyway, yeah, since the last podcast, we made a short film for the Splatterfest.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
Festival. Yeah, it was a very... it was a fun time. It was trying on... All of our patience, because every second the clock is ticking and there's not enough time to do it right.
Yeah,
do it the way you'd want in 48 hours. So, like, we had this one. It should have been like the best shot of the movie, and our effect just didn't work. And we're like, all right, cut it and roll it. We're good. So
yeah, you just got to keep moving. There's like. Like you said, there's no time for anything.
No, not at all. And the power went out, our AC went out, and it was a rough shoot. But yeah, that's actually raining. Screen. Do what?
It started raining.
Yeah. So like people are walking up to the door, and it's clear outside. And then when we answer the door, like it's raining its ass off in the movie. So like, I don't know. But yeah, it was a fun time, if nothing else. I think it really helps. We've done it before with like some mutual friends and friends and mutual friends. But like I didn't know everyone the first time that we did it. And I think this time was much more enjoyable because of knowing everyone. But yeah, I had a lot of fun doing that this year. So maybe we'll do it next year. Maybe we won't. Who knows? But anyway, so yeah, that'll be playing at the Alamo Draft House on Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. So it's Tuesday the 30th.
Hold on. Yeah, okay. I was about to say you should probably give a date because nobody knows when we're recording this.
Yeah, Tuesday, September 30th at 7 and 9 p.m. It's the Alamo Draft. What is it? Mason Park?
Mason Park, yeah.
Yeah, so I think me and Kelsey are going to go out to the 7 o'clock.
I think I'm going to hit the 9 because I don't get off work till 8.
No, you're going?
I think so.
Cool. Yeah, I didn't know if you were going or not. We're just, we work somewhat, not really close to there, but it's right after we get off work, so we're just going to head up. But yeah, that'll be fun. But other than that, I got a trailer this past week for... Camp Blood 3 First Slaughter.
And okay.
It looks great. It's kind of set up like a Blair Witch, where they're interviewing townspeople before they go into the woods. And these townspeople are like, yeah, I heard about Camp Blood.
I heard about it. Why would you name your camp Camp Blood?
I don't know. I guess we don't really. Don't we have like a Hatchet Creek or something around here? And we don't know much about it. I heard about Hatchet Creek would be my legitimate reaction. And then we have Camp Mohawk.
Yeah.
I think I may have made Hatchet Creek up.
I think you might have.
But we definitely have Camp Mohawk around here. But no, yeah, but
I believe that's for the Indians, the Native American tribe.
Well, they don't own it. They really don't. Just another thing that they were stiffed on because Alvin, City of Alvin owns that.
I'm just saying it's named after it. Man. Not like the hair. Well, I guess the hairstyle is named after it too.
Yeah. No, and also Mohawk isn't as creepy as blood.
No. You know?
So Camp Mohawk, okay, that kind of sounds cool. But I thought Hatchet Creek was, but no, I'm thinking of Chigger Creek. I don't know where Hatchet Creek is. So anyway, but no, yeah, they're like, I've heard of Camp Blood. Supposedly, there's a clown that'll kill you. That's why. And then it just cuts to like them all dying one by one by this horrible looking clown. But I think it's a Polonia Brothers movie, which they were big like on the shot on VHS type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they're both still alive. I didn't look it up, but it said like a Polonia Brothers production. So I don't know if the living one directed it or if neither of them, you know, they just kind of financed it. But it looks fun. So what I want to do is watch Camp Blood 1 and 2 in preparation for First Slaughter.
So that way you won't be lost.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. When this clown shows up, I need to know his motivation. You know, is he benevolent? Is he malevolent?
Why is it a clown at a camp? Do camps have clowns?
Maybe. Just looking at your face. Didn't really help on the audio. but yeah.
It just doesn't make much sense.
Oh, I keep bumping into my desk. Yeah, no, it doesn't make any sense, but it was one of the funnier trailers. It looked like they made it on nothing. I'll put it this way. The short that we shot looked like it had higher production value. I mean, it's a guy in just a jumpsuit and a clown mask. Like, he's not even made up like a clown. It's just a clown mask. So,
nice.
Anyway, watch that. And when we saw Tusk, I went to the bathroom during the trailers, but did anything cool play?
Let's see. I don't remember what the first one was, so that one probably wasn't that good. Mm-hmm. And then there was the one
for... The Ouija.
No, that was later, though. You were back from the bathroom. I don't remember what the first one was.
Huh.
Anyway, but then there was Fury, that tank movie with Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
And Shia LaBeouf.
Mm-hmm. That looks kind of cool.
It actually does. Like, I would probably go watch it. Let's see. And then there was that Ouija board movie. Was it just called Ouija?
It's called Ouija. Like, they had to license that.
They had to get that from Parker Brothers, right?
Yeah, because you can do Ouija movies as long as it doesn't have the actual game board.
Like, which board?
Well, you can even call it Ouija, and they won't sue you as long as you don't show a legitimate Ouija board. Okay. I mean, you can't call your movie Ouija, but you can have a Ouija board in it. And they don't go after people because Sorority House Massacre 2? I think Sorority House Massacre 2, it all hinges on a Ouija board.
But, is that the one where the girl got stabbed by a drill?
No, you're thinking of Slumber Party Massacre.
Oh, sorry.
And I don't remember if that's an original or sequel. No, but... Those movies are so stupid. But yeah, Ouija board. That Ouija movie, what's your thoughts on it?
I don't know. It was PG-13.
It didn't say it in the trailer, but you told me it was.
It said it on the little green thing, you know, the like title card. It's like, this preview is approved for audiences, whatever.
Oh, okay. See, I walked in right as they're like, a Ouija board.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to end up watching it.
Oh,
there's
probably,
no way
yeah.
I won't. But it looked, I don't know. It looked like worth watching. And then what else was there? I remember there was something else.
Oh, Into the Woods.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to watch that. It's a Disney music, or is it not Disney? It's just a musical.
I don't, you know, I'm not sure. I think it's like a, it was based on like a play, right? Or something.
Probably.
But I don't think it's a musical, and I don't think Disney put it out.
It's a just, musical.
Is it a musical?
Yeah, yeah. Because the guy who directed Chicago did it, and Anna Kendrick, I was listening to a podcast with Anna Kendrick as the guest, and she was like, yeah, I'm in this musical with Glenn Close that's coming out, blah, blah, blah. I didn't, or not Glenn Close. Is it Glenn Close? Shit,
hold on. I'm looking it up.
No, it's that other lady, the one, Meryl Streep.
The other lady, Meryl Streep.
No, the other lady, because I get them confused a lot. Like, I realize one does like made for TV movies at this point. And then Meryl Streep's nominated for everything she does. But
yeah, Walt Disney Pictures is actually doing it.
Huh. Yeah, I won't be watching it. So we've spent a lot of time. Are you?
Well, probably not. I mean, unless Martha wants to go see it or something.
Yeah, yeah. There is always that wild card. I didn't think I'd see Now and Then 50 times, but I have. Kelsey, that's one of her three movies, and I end up watching it a lot. So it went from me not liking Now and Then to liking it, to liking it, but being just very tired of it. But she's like, it's like the female Stand By Me. I guess it kind of is, but Stand By Me is so much more dark, so much more messed up.
And better.
I think they have a seance. Yeah, they have a seance during Now and Then. That's about the darkest it gets. Like, it doesn't really have a plot. It's just like, oh, remember when we were kids? Cool. And then it flashes back. And the worst thing is that Christina Ricci grows up to be Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah, that doesn't even make any sense.
No. Different genetics. But I mean, they have a different, like, totally different looking face.
You don't know what happened in her life in between when she was Christina Ricci and Rosie O'Donnell. She could have seen some stuff, man.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. She'd have to see a lot to turn her from Christina Ricci to Rosie O'Donnell. But yeah, freaking why were we talking? Oh yeah, Into the Woods.
Anyway,
anything else? I saw the trailer for VHS Viral.
I have not seen it yet. I saw the poster for it.
See, I think I fell into a different camp than most because VHS 1, this is kind of like a lethargic talk. I just woke up. But anyway, no, like VHS 1, highly praised. A lot of people liked it. I mean, I don't think critically was praised, but as far as like horror community, it's well regarded. VHS 2, not so much.
Do horror movies usually get critically praised?
Not often.
I watched an old video of Roger Ebert tearing apart like Friday the 13th 4, I think it was.
Oh, yeah. But
anyway, go on. Sorry.
No, VHS 2. All I was saying was VHS 2 wasn't as widely, like, as well regarded. And
I still haven't watched that one.
I loved it. It's so good. I'm not going to say it's so good. There are segments in there that are way, way, way better than the first one.
Yeah.
Like, one of the dumber ones was a cool concept, but only works in concept. A guy wearing a GoPro while he's mountain biking gets bit by a zombie. And so then it's him, like, freaking out, and then just him, like, going, like, slow and stuff. And then
zombie with a GoPro.
Attacking people. Yeah.
That's a good concept, though.
It's a great concept. Just the execution wasn't that great. But not whenever you have... There's one where they go into this... I think it's like a... Maybe, I don't know. It's one of the Asian countries. They go into the... Well, no. I don't know which country it is. I don't know if it specifies. It may be Taiwanese. I don't know. But they go into this like cult there, and that's one of the best things I've ever seen. It's insane. Yeah,
that's what I hear. Everybody says that the cult one's really good.
The cult one's good, and there's another one involving a GoPro where they put it on a dog, and I really like that one.
I think you just like GoPros.
Well, no, I didn't like the zombie GoPro. But no, the GoPro one with the dog was an alien abduction. So he's watching people get abducted, and then it's a dog running off. Like, yeah. But anyway, yeah. But this one, just it doesn't even tell you. Like, it's VHS viral, so I'm guessing that it's viral clips. But I don't know. Just spooky stuff happening. But it looks like they've given up on any logic whatsoever. Because the first one was pretty straightforward. The second one was kind of crazy. This one's full-blown nuts. This one's along the lines of, like, you know, shoot 'em up levels of...
Okay.
Or Crank 2 levels of just... insane crap. So anyway, it looks pretty good. So I would be on the lookout for it. I think it's coming out next month.
And speaking of VHS, Ty West's The Sacrament, because he did a clip on the first one, is streaming on Netflix now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you could watch a movie on Netflix that we reviewed a couple episodes back.
Yeah. When was that? I think it was the second episode.
I don't know. But, I think it was too. Good movie, though.
Yeah, I like The Sacrament a lot. And it's one that, along the lines of Tusk, I know we haven't gotten into it, but it's one you're going to think about afterward. It doesn't leave you as soon as you're done watching the movie.
I don't know.
At least I've thought about Tusk quite a bit afterward.
I did, too.
Which
I'm not sure really wanted to.
It shouldn't necessitate the levels of thought I've put into it afterward.
Let's see, anything else happening?
Should we tell them what our plans are for October?
Oh, I meant like in movie news.
Oh, no,
we should tell them. I got a good one. I found something even better than the new posters for Interstellar.
What is it? Well, tell them a little bit about Interstellar, because I have no clue. I'd never heard of it until you mentioned it.
It's Christopher Nolan's new movie. It comes out in November, I think. So actually not that far away. November 7th, yeah. And so it's like, you know, your typical, like, Earth is dying sort of thing. We need to go find a new habitable world.
And then, is that what it's about?
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of been vague on a lot of the details. But there's like this wormhole that's discovered, and then they send Matthew McConaughey through it. Yeah, that's about it. Yeah, looks good, though. I mean, it's Christopher Nolan. I'm going to probably watch everything he ever puts out.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I watched The Prestige yesterday again for like the 50th time.
You know, I've never seen The Prestige.
You really?
Nope. I've seen bits and pieces. You ruined it for me at Academy, though.
Oh, yeah, did I?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Anyway, it's fine.
I might put it... I was thinking about it yesterday. I think I put it on my top 10 list.
The Prestige?
Yeah.
Man, I'm going to have to forget what you told me the spoiler alert was. And
do you rewatch it?
But no, I'm looking through his stuff. I never saw Doodlebug. Did you? I'm just looking through his... I saw Following, saw Memento, did not see Insomnia, Batman Begins, obviously, saw, didn't see The Prestige, Dark Knight, Inception, Dark Knight Rises, I've seen all of them. So I've seen everything other than The Prestige and Doodlebug and Insomnia. So
I don't even know what Doodlebug is.
It looks like it's a short as part of a collective.
Oh, okay.
It says Cinema 16 has all these directors, so it's probably Super 16 film or some, I don't know, 16 millimeter, not Super 16. So anyway, I don't know. Did you ever see Following?
It's on my Netflix queue, but I haven't gotten around to watching it yet.
It's not gonna blow your mind, honestly. It's good. It's not great. I don't think they had the production values to like necessitate it being awesome. But it was good. It was smart, but it's a black and white movie where a guy's following another guy.
Yeah.
So it's, but the jump between that and Memento is only 2 years apart, and holy
crap.
Like, Memento. I still think Memento might be his best. Maybe. Dark Knight's so good, though.
Yeah, it is.
I loved Inception, but I didn't fall into, like, how everyone loves Inception. Like, best movie ever. It's nowhere near it for me.
No, I thought it was good. It was, like, an interesting take on the heist movie. Because that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's just a heist movie. It's Ocean's 12 inside of a guy's head. Why'd I go with Ocean's 12?
It's Ocean's 13.
Yeah, which one was the one where Julia Roberts played herself? It's that one in some guy's head.
She played herself in one?
Yeah. Oh, my God. We're not getting into this, are we?
Oh, yeah, we are. And she plays herself because she's a character in it, right?
Yeah, she's a character in it. And then in one point, as a distraction, her character plays Julia Roberts to distract her.
Oh, I do remember that now. Yeah, I bought, because Kelsey loves the Ocean's movies. I mean, you better just cancel your day if they're showing on PBS, because she will just sit and watch those, or Bourne Identity, all the Bourne movies. What else are things that she will stop? Any Batman. Batman and Robin.
Like, oh, I'll Batman, watch that one.
Batman. Batman Forever. Like, she also, I think, have we covered all this? Or I don't know. She thinks they're all equally good.
Yeah, you've told me that. I don't think we've ever talked about it on the podcast.
I mean, she's like, okay, the thing is, they're all equally good. Some of them are technically better. And I was like, well, what do you mean? She's like, well, they're all equally entertaining. But I'm like, really?
No, I can, Mr. I can Freeze. See that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously,
I can
those,
see where she's coming from.
I don't think they're all equally entertaining, though. The one with Mr. Freeze, that's the only one that every time she brings it up, I'm like, no.
But no, there's so many ice puns.
There are.
Oh, man.
Watch your ice. It's so stupid. I forgot what we were going. Oh, yeah, cancel your plans, Ocean's 11. So anyway, one day I went to Target and saw all of them for like $5 on DVD. So I grabbed it for her. But so it was like Ocean's 11, 12, and 13, and then the original Ocean's 11. I was like, man, it's got the old one. Come on, let's throw that one on. That's the one you haven't seen. I haven't seen. And so anyway, we put it on and fell asleep. It was not good. I don't see how they adapted it so far. Like, I don't know. I like old movies, but that one was crap. It just had a great cast.
All right.
Well, we've gone 22 minutes and haven't really said much.
But I one last thing real quick, just sure, because I think it's funny. Yeah. What's the guy's name who does Star Trek? Roberto Orci? How do you say his last name?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Okay. Anyway, he was going to produce the new Power Rangers movie, but he can't. But he had to drop out because of Star Trek 3.
Oh, okay. So what did he do on Star Trek?
He's producing and stuff like that, but he's been, I guess, conscripted, I don't know, to do his directorial debut on Star Trek 3. So he dropped
he's
out.
He's also attached to Ice Age 5. I'm just looking him up.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the right move to make.
Yeah, it is the right move to make, but Power Rangers.
Well, see, the thing is, I know, and, okay, we were in fifth grade when Power Rangers first came out.
Well, and, here.
Huh?
Power Rangers.
Well, yeah, when they hit America, no one was following that. I don't know one person that was like, oh, wait, I'm in fifth grade, but something crazy's happening in Japan. How do I know? I don't know. The internet doesn't exist. Like,
dude, they've been out since, like, 1978 in Japan.
No, but what I'm saying is I don't know a kid that was into them before they hit here. Do you?
No.
Okay.
No.
But they came out in fifth grade, and I don't know why, but I had like a chip on my shoulder about the Power Rangers from the beginning, so I know nothing about them. Like, you liked them, German liked them. Like,
dude, a lot of people liked them. I'm not even going to lie. The first movie, Still really good. I would watch it again right now if it was on TV.
Yeah, I've never seen it. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, I've never once sat down and watched Power Rangers unless they were just on at like your house when we were in fifth grade. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, I never, for some reason, I wish I had gotten into them so I have more of a, you know, more of the grasp on it. I remember thinking, I forget, was it the Pink Ranger?
Mm-hmm.
I remember thinking she was hot when I was a kid, but I don't even remember what she looks like. But that's all I got as far as the Power Rangers go.
I went to the Houston, the Comic-Con, not Comic-Con, because that's like trademarked or whatever, but the Comic-Palooza.
Comic-Palooza, yeah.
Yeah, and all of them were there.
Really?
The original ones, yeah.
Now, which one's the one that has the religious MMA fighting league now?
I think it's the green one.
Oh, really?
Tommy? Well, he was also the White Ranger for a while, too.
Okay. So, since I never really got into it, okay, are they as big culturally as, like, the Ninja Turtles?
Like, now?
Yeah.
No.
So, do you think a Power Rangers movie is going to be a blockbuster movie?
I don't know. Maybe. Well, I don't think they're as popular as they used to be, like whenever they first came out over here, but I think they still have a following. I mean, there's been like a new Power Rangers TV show like every year.
Well, yeah, and I guess, I mean, I guess things that aren't quite as big along with the right marketing push are going to be blockbusters. Because yeah. I never would have thought that, what was it, Guardians of the Galaxy... I never would have thought that had the cult following to be as big of a movie.
That was surprising to me.
We actually almost went and saw that on Friday, but we didn't.
I think you would like it. I mean, it's James Gunn. It's a superhero movie, but not a superhero movie.
Yeah. I know. I mean, I'm willing. I'm definitely willing to. I'm just tired of comic book movies, and we've done this conversation, so let's not. But I'm just, I definitely am going to see it. I eventually watch them all.
Yeah. But I mean, I do think, back to Power Rangers real quick, that, hold on, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, there's also going to be, you know, people who go see it out of nostalgia.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I wish I had that because, I mean, fifth grade's not too, like, it's not too old to watch Power Rangers. Everyone watched it, but for some reason I was like, that's little kid crap. I don't know what I did. Went off and played with Pogs. That's exactly what I did. It was the same year. Like, little kid crap. Now, give me a slammer. Sure.
Like, but our Pogs had like zombies and stuff on them. They were way more adult.
I guess. In the same way that Garbage Pail Kid cards were adult. But, all right. Well, are you good to take a break?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Hold on. Before we do. October, what we're going to do, this is tentative because last time we talked, you know, we were going to review curtains for this.
And then we changed
because Tusk came out. So we may end up reviewing curtains, but we definitely, oh shit, we ought to do the movies too.
Oh my God, we should.
Let's do that. All right, curtains is happening in November or something. But in October, we're going to review Goosebumps books.
Yeah.
And now Goosebumps movies. Oh, I mean, they were all made for TV, but.
Yeah, but we should do Say Cheese and Die.
Do they have a movie of it?
It's got Ryan Gosling in it.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, great. We're going to review that in October. For part of our spooky month, I don't know, for our Halloween fest. So, anyway, all right. Spooky month. Hashtag spooky month if you're into it. All right. Anyway, so, all right, we are, we're going to take a break real quick. And we'll be back.
God reached his hand down from the sky. He blooded the lamb and he set it afire. He said, fear me again. No, I'm your father. Remember that no one can breathe underwater.
All right, that was the Thermals with the song Here's Your Future off their album The Body, The Blood, The Machine. It's really, really good album. If you don't have it, I'm sure you can get it really, really cheap right now, so go get it. So now that we're back, you want to talk about Tusk?
Sure.
You're like, Walrus, yes. All right, so I'm sure, unless you've been... Well, I think it would be really easy to miss that this movie's even out.
Yeah.
There hadn't been much of a budget behind the advertising or anything for it. But
I have seen lots of commercials on Hulu, though. Lots.
I've only seen ads on Reddit. But I haven't honestly been watching... I don't have Hulu, and so I don't know. But I haven't seen anything on normal TV for it. But... I don't know. Basically, a year, July of, or June of last year, Kevin Smith found an ad on Gumtree that said that a guy was willing to let someone live in his house. He was looking for a lodger.
Okay, hold on. Just so in case people don't know, Gumtree is like the UK's version of Craigslist, right?
Yes. Okay. And so a guy was willing to let a lodger live in his house for the exchange for free as long as he wore a walrus suit for 2 hours a day, because the best times of that guy's life were spent marooned on an island with a walrus named Gregory, who was the best companion to him. They thought it was funny. They laughed.
Pretty normal.
They started on their podcast. They started talking back and forth about how this is this epic story. Well, then the next podcast, turned out Kevin Smith was bored. He was trying to finance Clerks 3. Stuff was falling through. And so he got bored and wrote a script for Tusk. And from then, he was like, you know, if you want to see it as a movie, you know, hashtag Walrus Yes. Twitter responded. He got a lot of Walrus Yeses. And for a long time, it was only one Walrus No, and it was only because somebody wanted to be the first to say Walrus No. So anyway, he ends up making this movie that he's taken certain liberties, to the actual story. And it turned out the whole thing was a hoax. So he brought that guy on as a producer. And the resulting movie is Tusk, with Justin Long, Michael Parks, Genesis Rodriguez, Haley Joel Osment, Kevin Smith's daughter, and who else? Johnny Depp. So anyway, they make this movie Tusk, and it's in theaters right now. Assuming we drop this episode pretty quick, you are going to be able to watch this in theater if you want. I would totally understand if you waited till DVD, but I do think that this deserves a theatrical experience. you want to get into it at all?
You're talking like spoilers and stuff?
Do you want to get into it at all? Is a horrible. You know,
yeah, that's very...
Where do you want to start?
I don't know. First of all, I would like to say that this has probably been one of my most anticipated movies of 2014.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I was not disappointed.
I wasn't either. It wasn't my... The entire time, you know, I listened to the Smodcast a lot. I love podcasts. The entire time, it still felt like, you know, because he's announced so much crap that doesn't happen. It still felt like a joke, right? Yes. And so I don't know if it was my most anticipated for this year. I've definitely been anticipating watching this movie. And I wouldn't let down either. When we left, I was like, what in the hell did we just watch? But it was, I don't know. We can't really get into it without talking about it a little bit.
So, where do you want to start? Do you want to actually just run through it as best as we can remember it? Or do you want to keep it vague?
I'd rather keep it vague. I don't want people fast forwarding through this segment just because of spoilers. So we'll keep it spoiler free. Or we can keep it spoiler free to the level that Kevin Smith has. Do you want to do that, which allows much more?
Well, I mean, there's not, like,
really a giant much plot
to it. Yeah. There's not any, like, twists or turns or, you know, it's not M. Night Shyamalan movie.
No, I'll say he does end up going full walrus. Kevin Smith said that, and he puts it in that every time. Justin Long, if you want to see him turned into a human walrus, this is the movie to watch because it's not happening again.
You know, that happened way earlier in the movie than I expected it to.
Oh, yeah. Justin Long, the trailer makes it look like, you know, he's staying at this guy's house for days and stuff. It happens pretty early. So
yeah, it was like the Act 2 mark. It's really early.
Okay.
So Justin Long, Haley Joel Osment are podcasters. Right.
Mm-hmm.
He goes off onto an interview with Justin Long goes to Canada for an interview.
With a
viral video star.
Yeah.
and then things don't pan out
and he ends up at this guy's house.
Yeah. Who, you know, like you said in the beginning, lived on an island with a walrus for a while. And was trying to reclaim the best relationship he ever had in his life with a walrus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much else there is to that.
No. Okay, and so the first half has a dark tone, I would say.
It's incredibly serious for the source material.
Very, very dark. And then Johnny Depp shows up.
Yes. And things take a change.
Yeah, Johnny Depp, who doesn't even have his name on this movie, he plays a character named Guy LaPointe, which is Guy LaPointe for us Americans. So anyway, it's Guy LaPointe as Guy LaPointe.
Yeah,
in the credits. So nowhere does it say Johnny Depp. It is Johnny Depp,
and he's
in some heavy makeup. And when they said Johnny Depp was going to be in it, and because he's not on the trailer, and because he's not on anything, I thought he'd have a small part. He does not.
No, he does not.
Everyone kind of has the same amount of parts except for the convenience store girls.
Yeah.
But they're getting their whole they're getting an entirely separate movie.
Yeah, so elaborate on that a little bit.
Okay, so he's making a Canadian trilogy. The third one might be my favorite. But the first one's Tusk. The second one is called Yoga Hosers. And it's about the girls from the convenience store. And it turns out they're almost kind of Ghostbusters. They get involved in paranormal stuff. And that is going... So, like, what you take... Because they're real apathetic. Like, when they're messing around on their phones and stuff, they're keeping up with, like, ghost crap. So Yoga Hosers, when Justin Long comes in, and Tusk, it's in Yoga Hosers also. So both movies intersect, okay? At least that's how he's explained it. And they're midway shooting Yoga Hosers. But Johnny Depp's in that one, too. And
as Guy LaPointe?
Yeah, Guy LaPointe. he's in that one as well. And they've shot, like, I don't know, a couple weeks on it. And then Johnny Depp had to do a real movie. Like a legitimate movie. And then they're picking up, I think, in February. So, anyway, that's going to be the second movie, and it's going to be a PG-13, but he says it's still raunchy as crap. So, so then you have Yoga Hosers. And then the third one, I can't wait for it. It's Jaws with a moose, and it's called called Moose Jaws. So he's calling this his True North trilogy. And it's all going to, after that, it's going to end up with the movie that he's been trying to make for years. It's a hockey movie called Hit Somebody. And so it's a biographical hockey movie. I mean, it's not crazy or anything, but he wanted to get all his Canadian craziness out first. And so anyway, so I can't wait for those two movies to come out either. But, okay, back to Tusk. I don't even remember where we're at. Everyone had about an equal part. Johnny Depp kind of throws the whole tone of the movie.
He does. Like once he arrives, it starts becoming more of a comedy. And I realized it. Okay, I was thinking about it yesterday, and it's like it was like the whole movie was really dark and really serious at first, right? And then he showed up, and it burst the bubble. And then you realize that, like, what you're watching is utterly ridiculous, you know?
Oh, definitely.
And then you kind of can't take the rest of it seriously anymore. Like, even the parts that are supposed to be serious, you know? Like the other scenes with, you know, Justin Long and Michael Parks, it's like you can't take them seriously anymore because, like, the bubble has been burst. You know what I mean? Yes.
Yeah. I will say, you know, Justin Long does turn into a human walrus.
Mm-hmm.
And if he didn't, there really wouldn't be a movie. So that's not really a spoiler, and it's something that's totally out there already. So
yeah, I actually was spoiled for me because I was on Reddit and somebody had posted a picture of it.
It's been spoiled that it would happen since this modcast after, like, when he wrote it, because he was like, he's going full walrus.
Yeah, I mean, like, what else would happen? That's the whole point of the movie, right?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, you could be like, oh no, he plans to turn us, and then they catch him mid-transformation. I don't know. That's not what happened. I will say the standout of this movie definitely was Michael Parks. So yeah. If, like, he played a crazy preacher in Red State, he's always bit parts in movies, especially like Tarantino. In Tarantino movies, he's always that cop, and he's just like bit parts. And so he plays the crazy preacher in Red State, and he gave an Oscar-worthy performance there. What?
I did watch Red State.
Oh, you did?
You asked me yesterday if I had watched it, and I had forgotten that I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. That movie's good.
Yeah, and it changed the tone of Kevin Smith movies. Up till then, you know, it was all comedies and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then he kind of went on hiatus, said he was going out on Red State, and took a 5-year break. I mean, Red State happened. It was a great movie. And so he planned on being retired. He wanted to hit somebody and possibly Clerks 3.
He's been talking about Clerks 3 for years.
Yeah. And so, I mean, Michael Parks is such a good actor, and it kind of sucks that he's getting these chances only through Kevin Smith and late in life, you know, the chance to be pretty much a lead in all these movies and deliver all this crazy performances, because he's not young anymore, and who knows what we could have seen had we seen him going off the rails on these acting roles instead of bit parts all this time. It would have been great. But he definitely, I mean, no two ways about it. He has the movie in his hand. And
there's several scenes that are just basically monologues of his.
Mm-hmm.
And they're wonderful. You know, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even it's funny that Kevin Smith, he's always had this reputation for, okay, well, your movies, no one really does anything. You can't direct action. You know, your movies are people talking. So he makes this horror movie that's still people talking. But it's, I would definitely say it's weirder than we're telling you.
I mean, it's much weirder.
It gets weird. But it's definitely a, you can tell, I mean, a lot of the Canadian stereotypes are ramped up quite a bit in this movie, but it's all done out of like jest, you know, the whole movie. I don't know. I mean, I would definitely say watch it. I don't know if it's going to go down as iconic as Clerks or anything like that.
No, I don't think it is, because I don't think it has as mass appeal.
Not at all. No. But it cost $1.5 million. He's going to make his money back, even if it just went straight to DVD. His money's made back.
Definitely. So,
I mean, and it was fun. More than anything, it was fun, and it was so original. It was. I don't know if you're going to like it or not at all, because it's not going to appeal to everyone. And I don't know if you're going to like it. So I don't know to say go, you know, that you're going to love it. Go see it. But I would say go see it, because it's one of the more original things out there.
Yeah, it's definitely unique. I don't know. And go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say there's been a lot of people saying that it's kind of like Kevin Smith meets David Lynch. It's not that out there where things just don't make any sense.
Well, yeah, they do, kind of.
Well, it doesn't. David Lynch, it doesn't. It's not like Eraserhead.
Yeah.
Or nope. Mulholland Drive. People don't just turn into other people mid-movie or anything like that.
And then play jazz saxophone.
Lost Highway. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a weird, weird movie. And I really, really, I hope people give it a shot, because I want to see more movies like this. I'm kind of tired of formulaic movies. Granted, formulaic movies would be a great palate cleanser from watching stuff like this, but
yeah, I mean, because you can't have it either extreme. You can't have every movie be generic and boring, and you also can't have every movie be, you know, something you have to think about for 4 hours afterwards. You know what I mean? You got to have a balance sort of thing. But I do, you know, agree that it's super unique. You know, there's nothing else really like it out there or that I've seen. I mean, you could argue that it's like a monster movie, you know, or a serial killer movie, or so just some sort of B horror. But I think it had much better acting and much better writing than your average like B horror movie.
Yeah. And if anyone's a fan of the Smodcast, the entire thing is it's an end joke to Smodcast people. Every reference in the movie, even from, I think his name was, Wallace Brighton is his name. Mm-hmm. Okay. Brighton's the town that the guy posted the original ad from.
Mm-hmm.
And
Wallace sounds like walrus.
Wallace sounds like walrus. They
he had a mustache.
Multiple. I mean, they do a lot of Canadian news. I almost said moose, but Canadian news on Smodcast. And one of the things was this legend of the Gimli glider, who was this pilot. Like, it was a long thing. But anyway, so then they have hamburgers in the movie named the Gimli Sliders. They had. I wish I had taken like a notepad and written all of it down, because so much of it is just in jokes. His
the gum tree thing.
Gumtree,
the hockey player.
Oh yeah, Gregory Gumtree. So Gregory, the walrus name from the original ad, plus Gumtree, the listing was another person that was missing in the movie. And his ringtone is the Hollywood Babylon. It's a thing that they it's the more margaritas. Like, it's Ralph Garman, who's also in the movie, plays a kind of dim-witted cop. But it's Ralph Garman doing Al Pacino, that a fan remixed and did the more margaritas. Anyway, there's just so much of it. If you're a fan of Smodcast or Hollywood Babylon or basically any of the Smodcast Internet Radio Network, you're going to catch a lot of things in this movie. It just seems like a, like he's wrapping up everything he wanted to say about podcasting in this movie, which podcasting has been a big part of his life. I mean, he's one of the biggest podcasters and one of the first, you know, public figures to adapt it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not really quite a pioneer, but not far from it. So anyway, I enjoyed it. I would say you need to see it. I can't guarantee you're gonna like it, is what I have to say. What do you got to say?
I think I pretty much agree with you. I mean, it's a it's a really well made movie. I mean, everyone acts really well in it. Like Justin Long did a really good job. I forgot what's the girl's name?
Genesis Rodriguez. She was great.
Yeah. She did an amazing job. I mean, it was a very small cast, very tight. You know, a lot of it kind of seemed like a bottle episode sometimes, you know, because there was just like extended pieces in one room and stuff like that. But you know, it was really well done. I think it's worth a shot. But there's no way to know if you're going to like it or not.
No, we were in a theater of what, five people, and two walked out? Or no, one walked out.
It was me and you, one guy in the back, and then I think like two other people came in eventually.
Yeah, either one or two walked out of five. So 20% or 40% doesn't like this movie. But I was all in. I liked it a lot. Probably end up buying it. I don't know. I may or may not. Like I said, you know, Clerks is my favorite movie of all time. And this, it's not as iconic, especially to me, as Clerks, but he can't live up to it. Like, it's something that he'll never live up to again. It was just the right timing, the right source material. If Clerks came out today, it wouldn't be as good because we've seen all that crap with the Apatow, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, also Clerks, you know, is one of those movies where everyone can relate to it because everyone's had a crappy job, mm-hmm. you know, that they don't want. And so it's like you can really put yourself into the shoes of, you know, the characters. This one, you know, not everybody has a podcast or grows a mustache or goes to Canada to talk to weird people who lived on an island with a walrus. You know, I mean, it's like it's so specific sort of thing, you know, that I don't think it's going to have, you know, as broad like visceral appeal to everyone as Clerks did. But I do think it's an entertaining movie. And
yeah.
Oh God, the ending.
The ending was one of the best things. And I will say, if you watch it, stay into the credits, because they wrap up with them ending, like with them concluding the episode that they originally talked about it on. And you can see that the ending basically was a mirror of that. And then, mm-hmm. I don't know, then it totally wraps. And then Johnny Depp just says something about how he has to take a crap or something. I don't remember.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah. But yeah, you're not going to see a more original movie out there right now. I can't see. And it's really, really good. I would say check it out. That's about it. You got anything else?
No. I mean, I think we pretty much covered it without spoiling things. So,
yeah.
Which I'm kind of proud of us for.
Yeah.
That's weird. Oh,
but at the ending, when... The... All right. Yeah, I guess we'll be back with a review of Burden by Jeff Strand. That's about it.
Yeah. That was Lagwagon with Mr. Coffee off their album Duh.
Yeah, you're a big Lagwagon fan, right?
I am a big Lagwagon fan. There's a new album coming out.
I know. And I think that I've seen that they're going to Houston sometime.
Really?
Be fun. You've seen them before. I've seen them with
you. Yes, I have. Yeah.
They're freaking great. Love Lagwagon. I think you're probably a bigger Lagwagon fan than I am, though. Because at one time you said they were your favorite punk band of all time.
I might still stand behind that.
They're good. Really, really good. I like
how they're not catchy at all.
No, they rarely have choruses. That's them and Propagandhi both. There's rarely a chorus.
Lagwagon has choruses, you know, but they're just not catchy at all.
Yeah, but they're extremely poppy, which is kind of like a catch 22. They're fast. I think my favorite Lagwagon album easily is Trashed. Love it.
Yeah, Trashed is good.
So good. Yeah, anyway, you want to get to book talk?
Book talk with Craig and Brian.
Okay, so a while back we had, we were looking for source material to review and stuff that we liked. I picked up this book, Dead Clown Barbecue, and started reading it, and it was a really, really bizarre book. I had read one book prior to that by this guy, Jeff Strand. He's a great author. He had written a book called Pressure. And Pressure, I would love to review it on here, but Pressure blew my mind. It's one of my favorite books of all time. But it's a very, very straightforward, humorous at places type book, it's not over the top. So I grabbed Dead Clown Barbecue because I think it's like 80,000 words. It was like $2 through Kindle, and it's a ton of different stories. I hadn't counted, but probably 20 different stories. And his short stories aren't like, you know, mini novellas, except there's one in here called Specimen 13, I think. Anyway, that one's pretty long. But other than that, they're just legitimately short stories. They're about 3,000 words. And so, Brian, have you had a taste of Jeff Strand thus far?
Yeah, this is the first anything of his I've read.
Okay. This Dead Clown Barbecue, it's a wacky book. I mean, wacky, wacky. It's totally not scary at all. It's technically a horror book only because there's so many fantastical elements, but it is just over the top dumb. It's fun. I loved it. He also had a $1 expansion pack that had 8 more stories that he cut out, and that was worth it too. That was great. But in the middle of it, in the middle of all this just over the top crap, there's a story called Burden. Not to say that there's not anything else serious in there, but I would say the second most serious thing was a story called Grandma's Corpse. And it's about how this girl made bad grades, and so her dad is making her sleep with Grandma's corpse. So that's kind of the tone.
Pretty normal.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, even when it tries to be like creepy, and that was actually kind of, there were creepy parts in that, but it's overshadowed by the bizarre nature of it. Then comes Burden. And what we're going to review today is just Burden, the short story Burden that appears in Dead Clown Barbecue.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts?
Thanks for giving me the least fun one to read, Craig.
It's not. Yeah. In fact, we were talking about, okay, we both have Dead Clown Barbecue on our Kindle apps. And so I was like, you know, which one should we cover? I ran through like 4 of them. These would be fun. Oh, and Burden's the standout. It's pitch black and kind of depressing. And then I was like, we shouldn't review Burden. And then so a couple days ago, Brian, we were like, again, what should we do? And I don't even know why. I just text back, Burden.
We should really plan these better.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh,
but we do know we're doing Goosebumps.
Yeah. So
you know, you say Dead Clown Barbecue is fun and wacky and stuff like that.
It's the first thing you read.
this is the complete opposite of that.
It's not fun.
It's not fun at all. No. So should we go like plot synopsis? Okay. So,
yeah, so go for it.
Okay. It's about a character. Does it ever actually say his name?
Like, I don't know. Name? I reread it last night. No, I don't.
I didn't ever catch it if it did.
I don't think it does.
Our main character, our protagonist, if you will, and he, you know, basically doesn't have a good life, still lives with his parents. He's in his 30s.
And his fiance left him before going
for no reason.
For no reason other than he just wasn't right or something like that.
Yeah, it didn't feel right. So it, you know, it takes this, you know, whole first part of the story establishing kind of what a loser this guy is. And I did feel sorry for him. But anyway, so it turns out he had gotten in a car wreck with his brother, and his brother is now a paraplegic or quadriplegic, excuse me.
And he's, for all intents and purposes, brain dead.
Yeah, he was in a coma for a long time, finally came out of the coma. Just basically, yeah, brain dead. And so he decides to kill him with a pillow. And that's basically the plot of the story.
I'm sorry for doing that to you. I don't even know why I text you. Burden out of all the just wacky fun stories. I mean, he's got stories in here. One of them, I would love to cover Pet Cemetery. Like, it's just called, it's spelled differently, and it has the exact plot elements, but things keep coming back worse. But it's so, so good. Like, I mean, it's just over the top. It's dumb. In the foreword to this book, it talks about he doesn't know. He was invited to a dead clown barbecue, and he didn't know if they were barbecuing dead clowns or if it was dead clowns having a barbecue. But either way, he went, and then he realized that it was these people roasting his neighbors, and they were in clown. They just put clown makeup on his neighbors and were serving him ears and stuff. Like, it's just over the top, stupid stuff. Okay? It's really, really dumb, but it's fun. And this is not fun. And. Sorry for putting it on you, especially as the first thing to read, because I feel like it's going to taint your view of this author, and he's an amazing author.
No, I mean, the story was well written. I mean, it was really well done. It was just like, okay, I like dark stuff.
This was too dark.
I think this might have been too dark.
I'm telling you, I read this originally about it was in September of last year on a maybe closer to Christmas, but I was reading it on my Kindle app at work on a lunch break, and like I was so excited because up till then this is like toward the end of the book.
It's like middle-ish, right?
Here, let me open the app and I'll kind of go one by one over just a real quick synopsis of this, because I originally read this book a year ago or so.
Yeah, it's like the middle.
Okay. So.
Right after Grandma's Corpse.
Okay. Though. Pet Cemetery. It's goofy. Comeuppance. I don't remember comeuppance. The Apocalypse Ain't So Bad. Hilarious. The Bell from Hell. Funny. Work-life balance. It was about how HR policies are getting out of control and people are dying because of it. Stop Stabbing Me was fun. Comeuppance was great. It's a guy that turns himself into a human voodoo doll and has to kill himself to kill his enemy. Like, it's funny. Like, there's so much.
See, I feel like any of these other ones.
Anything else. Anything else. And I picked the Burden. The only thing that's even remotely. I mean, they have heavy-handed material in almost all of these, but it's done so wacky that, you know, it's like watching Young Frankenstein. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
But, and then all of a sudden there's Burden, and I apologize. It's easily the darkest thing. I will say there's more to the story than what you said, but we don't really want to spoil it. I mean, not much more to it. What happens after he tries to.
Yeah, exactly. That's where the story gets really creepy. I mean, yep. like, See, and it's just like, okay, because it's like super dark, but it's realistic. And I think that's what gets me. You know, it's like, yeah,
this is something that could easily happen. Could and probably has. I mean, I would say there's no way it hasn't.
I would, yeah, there's no way.
I mean, if you've seen Cuckoo's Nest, you know that this, anyway, but yeah. I don't know.
I mean, it's just it's done in a really realistic manner. You know, it's got his whole internal monologue about what's going on while he's trying to do it. You know, it seems realistic, like almost written from a point of view of someone who's done this. You know what I mean? And it's like, you know, even though you don't learn, you know, too much about the character, except for the first few paragraphs that are setting up like backstory, but really just thematic backstory of you know, how he lost his job and, you know, he went to school to become a dentist, but he does data entry and some crappy job and his girlfriend left him and all this stuff, you know, just to set up, you know, basically why he's living at home, right? And then you don't really learn anything else about the character, but you kind of feel like you understand him just because of all the inner monologue and stuff like that. And it's really just a sort of slice of life piece, because it's only from like 2 or 3 days, you know, of his life, right? Until the very end.
Well, yeah, when the plot actually picks up. It goes years back on the backstory.
Yeah, but I mean, just to say how his brother got in a wheelchair and stuff.
Yeah, 2 years prior, and he hadn't really done.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, it's just done really realistically and really kind of depressing.
Super depressing. Sorry about that.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
I remember being bummed eating a sandwich on my lunch break. Like, oh, God, why?
But, yeah, you know, like, I kept expecting it to maybe go a different direction, and it never did. You know, like...
No, not at all.
You know, something more along the lines of a story you would hear in a book called Dead Clown Barbecue, you know, something like that. But no, it's just straight up depressing. like,
anyway,
assisted suicide, maybe? You wouldn't even really consider it.
But you know what's
murder?
Funny? For it being this heavy handed and this depressing, okay? No one dies in the story.
Nope.
Nobody dies in the entire story, yet a lot of these goofy, over the top, a lot of people are dying in those.
Yeah, but
isn't
it's
that bizarre?
Like, yeah, but I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, Pet Sematary is not realistic.
Yeah, yeah. You know? No, this is incredibly dark. I don't know why. I would say, definitely would say, anyone listening that reads at all or has any intention of, maybe you hadn't read since high school, okay? Picking up Dead Clown Barbecue, what?
If you haven't read since high school?
I know a lot of people that haven't read a book since high school, like that wasn't forced on them.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah, I think so. But I mean, I would say right out of college, that year, I probably went 6 months without reading a book.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually writing stuff, but oh yeah, you freaked me out again. Your door's open. I was thinking that I was looking at my Skype and my door's not open. Anyway, that's happened multiple times. But anyway, so no, like yeah, I know multiple people that hadn't cracked a book in years unless it was something to do with their job. So it's not that bizarre, but anyway, if you're thinking about reading at all, period, or if you've never heard of Jeff Strand, I realize that's a weird sentence to say if you're thinking about reading, but if you haven't heard of Jeff Strand, Dead Clown Barbecue is a great place to start. It's cheap.
Just don't start with Burden.
Don't start with Burden. But it's really, really cheap through Amazon. He's a great writer, and if you actually, you know, are into reading, the reason I say if you're not into reading a lot, all these stories are short, you know, it's like the equivalent of picking up comics or something, like it's short and stuff, unless it's Transmetropolitan. longest comic to even to get through a single issue. But no, like freaking, they're all short and it's quick and fun reads. Whereas I don't think it's his best work. I've only read a couple of his books, but Pressure is, it's great, 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 mm-hmm. like an amazing novel. But yeah, this is a great starting place, and you'll definitely laugh your ass off, Brian. You should start reading other parts other than Burton.
I think maybe once we get done with Goosebumps, we should revisit this and do a couple of the other ones.
I would love to. And even the dollar expansion pack, I mean, it works the exact same way. They're just short stories, so you're getting less. But it's cheaper too, and they're fun. They're bizarre. So anyway, what are your total thoughts on it?
Well, I mean, like I said, it's really well written. I mean, you really feel like, and this is kind of bad, but you're there. You know, you don't want to be in that situation, but you know, it's really pretty immersive because he's very descriptive of what he does or what you know he's talking about. It's really depressing though, and then kind of creepy at the end. But it's just like, I don't know, you know, it kind of hits close to home because it's like, what would you do in a situation like this? And it makes you question like what you would do, and then if you were able to go through with it. And I don't know, maybe I'm just like,
yeah, it seems like you went a little dark with that. Yeah, I didn't really.
I mean, it's like, I don't know. It raised some questions.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a bad situation. It's not like, you know, it's someone that he loves basically who goes brain dead. It's not like they're, you know, paralyzed or anything like that. It's brain dead portion that bothers him the most. And he's like, I don't know what my brother would want because we never had a living will. And if it was me, I'd want him to kill me. And that's kind of where his thought was.
Yeah, because he's not just quadriplegic, you know, where you can talk and stuff like that. It's, you know.
Or even like where he could talk through like a machine or anything like that. Yeah. He has
no cognitive functions.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just basically vegetable in a chair. Right. And yeah, I don't know. It's messed up. Thanks, Craig.
I didn't. Well, I mean, you're taking it pretty hard. I didn't take it that hard. I just was like, oh wow, this guy's pretty jacked up. But anyway, all right. Well, do you have anything else?
No. I mean, like, I don't really. I feel like I don't have enough of a frame of reference to really give judgment on the entire book.
Oh no, so, there's no way to judge that book by that. Because the entire rest of the book is bizarre.
And fun, apparently.
It's hilarious. I'm not even joking. Like, you should read the Pet Sematary one. It's not long. It's like 12 pages long. It's hilarious.
Okay, so once we're done with Goosebumps, let's come back to this and see if I can form a better opinion on this guy's work.
Yeah, okay. All right, is that it for this episode?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
What was our hashtag again? Spooky month.
Yeah. Hashtag spooky month.
Yeah. Follow join us on Twitter. Yeah. At BNPod. Hashtag.
Wait. No, you cut out. What?
I said follow us on Twitter at BNPod. And you can tag all of your Halloweeny type things as spooky month.
Yeah, and
we're gonna not make this happen.
No, we don't have the kind of audience that could make spooky month a thing, do we? That's a challenge to our audience. Make spooky month a thing. But all right, well, that's it. We'll see you next time. We're gonna be reading some Goosebumps unless things change.
Awesome. No.
Which they won't, because they're just not going to. So, anyway, all right, that's it. Bye.
All right.